And the good news still echoes out. Praise the Lord for that. All right, you five young men that are supposed to help me, come here real quickly. Five young men, come here. All right. Once you take this paper, don't show it to the crowd yet, okay? In fact, don't even look at it. Just hold it against your chest. Not you, Brother Samson. Young men. Sorry. All right. Well, you're still young compared to Moses, all right, Brother Samson? That's right, he's young. All right, Wesley, just take that. Just hold it against your chest and go stand over there. Go stand in the corner. All right. You take this, put it against your chest. Go back there and stand by your mom. Hey, turn it around, Brent. Put it again. There you go. All right. You know what you're doing. All right. Put that, turn it around. Okay, and go stand over in that corner. All right, you do that. And go sit on your sister's lap. You want to sit on your sister's lap? Why not? Don't you love your sister? No? Brad Megan, he needs a little counsel there, okay. All right, and then you know, just maybe you want to go. You want to sit in your sister's lap? Yeah, all right, just kidding. Just kind of go scatter out for the bit. All right, now hold your place. Hold on just a little bit. You're going to see what we're doing here, okay? I had a completely other illustration I wanted to use for this particular message tonight. But after a conversation I got to have this morning with somebody, I really thought it was fitting to use a true experience that happened just today on Easter Sunday. I don't know if you've noticed, she's a very sweet lady. She's a Korean lady that's been coming to our church on Sunday mornings. Her name's Myong. She sits back here. She doesn't understand English very well. She's doing pretty good, but she's moved from Korea years back. And Brother Tim met her out door knocking, and she's been coming on many, many Sunday mornings, and she works a lot. She works third shift, and so she says she wishes she could come more. She told me that one time and another time I talked to her. But today she was asking just a lot of questions about the Bible. And as I was answering her questions, or trying to, with the help of Brother Tim, Uncle Jim was helping me out, we were able to look up verses, and then she would open up her Korean Bible and read those verses, and she was asking us questions. And it was just a great conversation, just a sweet, tender-hearted lady, just wanting to answers from the Bible. But Brother Tim was there. She said, she made the statement that she couldn't understand why, when she went to work one day and decided to write on the board or something, "God bless you," that people told her that it wasn't appropriate to take it down. And she was kind of confused because she thought America was a Christian nation. Right. And I thought, wow, right, Brother Tim? I mean, she asked about that today. And we're like, of course, I had to explain to her that America was founded as a Christian nation, but now we've turned our back. And I actually had to illustrate. I mean, I'm amazed that she keeps coming, because as fast as I talk and preach, and she still keeps coming. Something's drawing her here. Well, that's a blessing. I know it's the Holy Spirit. And then it hit me that, as I said last week, the Christians, most Christians today that are sincere and that are saved, have an idea of what the alphabet looks like when it comes to the Christian life. And last week, if you remember, in case you weren't here, let me just give you a quick review. We had the ABCDs up there. We had the kids sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then the whole church sang it all the way to Z. And, you know, next time, won't you sing with me? And then we sang the ABCs. And when you look at the alphabet, you know, it's A, B, C, D, and it goes all the way down to Z. We have 26 letters in our alphabet. Yet you can take all the letters you want in however order you want and rearrange them in whatever way you want, and the next thing you know, you have chaos. You can put letters together, even though the alphabet is right, even though it's letter A, even though it's letter Z, even though it's letter C, or whatever it is, and yet it won't make sense to those trying to read what you're trying to say. And I think many times as Christians, we know some of the ABCs of the Christian life, but when it comes time to live them out, we don't put them in the right order. And the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. The next thing you know, the world reads what we are trying to offer to them, and they can't understand what they're reading. So these five young men tonight have a piece of paper with a letter on it. And we're going to see these five young men come together and huddle and see if they can figure out what the word is. And then we'll see if they can line it up just right and spell the word that I have printed out for them. Hopefully, big test here. We're going to test. All these guys are homeschooled. Wow. We're going to find out tonight if homeschooling works. Can I get an amen right there? So let's see real quickly. You guys can get together in a huddle. And by the way, the reason I chose five different individuals is to show that as a church, sometimes we need to get in a huddle and figure out as a church if we're sending the message to the world that it's G-O-S-P-E-L, or are we spelling like P-G-O-L-E-P-S? The world says, what's that spell? Well, that doesn't spell anything. But G-O-S-P-E-L spells something. It spells gospel. And the purpose of a local church is to spell the word out to the world. And so, young man, when you figure it out, I want you to come stand up here on this step right here, and we'll see how you guys do, okay? While they're doing that, look at our text again in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. All right, verse 20, the Bible says this. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Okay, this is making me a little bit nervous. It's not that hard a word, but we'll see what happens, okay? All right, verse 20. The Bible says, but that with all boldness, as always, always. All right, sign language lesson real quickly. Are you ready? All right, you guys are going to stand up on this step and spell it out. Okay, Wesley, you guys can stand up on this step right here where I'm at and spell it out. Let's see if they got it right. All right, good, good. And then you're going to flip it all around and see if you get it right. Okay, ready? Go. All right, read it when you see it. Jesus, very good. Give him a hand. Good job, guys. All right, stay here real quickly. Now we know those are five legitimate letters of the alphabet. We have one letter repeated twice. All right, why don't you and Brent switch, and Kenny, you and Wesley switch real quickly. Let's just see what this spells. Does this even spell a word? Does that spell a word? Well, Jesus backwards. Yeah, okay. All right, you two switch real quickly. All right, there we go. Brother Travis, does that mean Roll Tide? It might. Anything can, right? All right, so you see the point I'm trying to make with the ABCs of Christian life. The world is reading us as a church and as individuals. And when the world reads the Christians today, what do they see? You understand? Let's just do some basic things. I'll give you four quick things and I'll be done. The world is expecting Christians to stand up against homosexuality. I mean, that's been our stance for years. So why all of a sudden are Christians changing? We're sending a message to the world. And by the way, I want to be consistent. If we're going to preach against the sin of sodomy, we're going to preach against the sin of adultery too. And fornication. Those are sins in the Bible. The world knows the church doesn't drink alcohol. You're not supposed to, right? I mean, the only alcohol we're allowed to drink is something called NyQuil. Can I get an amen right there? And I got Bible to back that up. Drink a little wine for thine often infirmities. Amen. But we understand we're not supposed to get drunk. The Bible's against drunkards and so on. And so why are Christians sending a mixed message to the world? The world expects the church to stand for something. The world sees the church today changing so bad that their spelling and the words they're trying to convey to the world aren't making sense to the world. And the world looks at the church and says, wait a minute. I thought you guys were supposed to stand for some things, and now you're not. So the church has still got to get the message of Jesus Christ and portray it exactly right. So now, spell it again right. Let's see if you spell it again right. All right. Very good. You got it right? A plus. Give them all a hand. You guys can keep the piece of paper. Thank you so much. All right. So, homeschooling does work most of the time. All right. So, here we go. I'll never forget that. Kenny, you okay? You going? You okay? You look like you're... Oh, you're going up that way. Okay. There was a lot shorter way to go there, just to let you know. You could have gone straight and taken a left, but that's okay. God bless you. See you later, brother. All right. I'm just picking on you, buddy. Okay. All right. I love picking on these boys. I pick on them a lot. Now, first of all, I want you to look at this one, always. Always is an important thing. And here's one of the reasons why we're not spelling our words very good anymore, because we're not always doing what we're supposed to do. The Christian life is an always thing. May I say to you, wherever I go in this life and wherever I go, I'm always a dignan. Quick sign language lesson. Quick sign language lesson. Here we go, always. Very simple sign. I love that sign. Because guess what? You can do it as long as you want. You know why? Because it's always. Always. Hey, I'm always a dignan, no matter where I go. By the way, I'm always an American. It doesn't matter what country I'm in. I have a passport that proves that I am an American, and thank God I'm an American citizen. Can I get an amen right there? So there's some things. By the way, let me say this. There's no confusion about this. I'm always a man. I don't ever wake up in the morning and wonder what I am and have to use a women's restroom. Can I get an amen? Y'all heard the news about Planet Fitness right now. That's crazy. Planet Fitness is saying, well, we can't say anything. If a man feels like a woman, he wants to use a woman's. Are you crazy? I can help that gentleman. You're a man, buddy. Go to the right bathroom. Can I get an amen right there? I've never wondered for a second I know the Mitchell boys have sometimes, but I've never wondered for one second in my life if I'm a man. Can I get an amen right there? Hey, thank God there's some things I always know I am. I always eat meat. Can I get an amen right there? All right. The point I'm trying to make is simply this. We're always Christian. That's the first thing I want you to see tonight. You're always a Christian, period. No debate. You're always a Christian. I didn't say you're always perfect. I didn't say I'm always perfect. We are always Christians. That's important. All right. Look at Philippians chapter 1 again, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do, to will and to do it for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless and sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Beautiful passage there. You see what it says? You always obey. Back up to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, our opening text. The Bible says clearly, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be shamed, but that with all boldness, as always," always, always. And by the way, thank God I don't get saved one week and get saved again the next week and lose my salvation and get saved again. I'm always saved. Once saved, always saved. My salvation does not depend upon me. It doesn't depend upon the church. It depends upon Jesus Christ and Him alone. Praise God for that. Always a Christian. And that's an important thing to understand and believe and live by, because the more we believe that and understand the power and the significance of the word always as a Christian, the more we'll keep our letters in order, and the message we send to the world will be a clear message. They'll understand where we stand. They'll understand our stand for truth and, as Paul said, our boldness. But they'll also understand our love, our mercy, and compassion. You see, a lot of Christians today, boy, they stand strong but don't show love. Their ABCs are messed up a little bit. Some Christians show abundance of love but never stand for anything. Their ABCs are messed up. It's a beautiful balance. It's a beautiful balance. All right, so number two. Number one, you're always Christian. Number two, this is an important one. Always contemplating. This is an important thing as Christians we need to do. Again, it's a word that we don't talk about much. I chose a C letter because it's the same as the C, the Christian. I'm going to give you all C's, make it easy to remember. But the word meditation, it's an old-fashioned Bible doctrine. It's a word that has slipped away in the Christian life today. It's so important that Christians spend time contemplating about your walk with God, understanding the things of God. One of my dear friends, a youth pastor friend of mine in Michigan, he's a great guy. We preach together two or three times a year. In fact, we preached together just a few weeks ago. I'm preaching together in June, and I love this guy, great guy. Brother Derek's his name. He recently stood and preached at a youth conference, and he played all these famous tunes. He just started playing a famous tune, and as soon as he started playing that tune, everybody in the room just guessed it right away. All these teenagers knew. And he played songs from Disney movies. He played songs like SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, you can just hear some of these tunes, and immediately teenagers, they just all know what it is. And he said, "It's sad that many Christians today recognize all the sounds of the world, but they don't recognize God's voice anymore. And God still speaks in a still, small voice. And God does like to be loud sometimes, and He likes to thunder out, but many times He's looking for us to be still and know that He's God, amen? And Christians today are not spending that valuable time where we shut everything down, we get quiet. I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, or even 1 minute a day, where you just, look, we can actually live without cell phones. The world survived without cell phones for 5,950 years. Can I get an amen right there? We can live without Facebook. Some of us, boy, it got quiet right there. Some of us don't know what we'd do if I didn't check my Facebook status every single day or three or four times a day. Why don't you sometimes try to just actually ignore your Facebook for just 2 days? What? I can't do that. Some of us can't even bear the thought of being off Twitter or Instagram, and all those things are good tools we can use to spread the gospel and communicate with friends and even take stand sometimes. But the simple fact is this, we Christians need to still spend time contemplating. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Look at this now. Let this, next word, Philippians 2, 5. Let this what? Say it again. Mind. Remember I've told you many times before, the word brain never shows up in the Bible. Animals have brains. Brains are defined as a mushy substance in your skull. Whereas a mind is a gift from God. God gave man a mind. But watch this. This isn't just any mind. Look at this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's a mind. The mind is a powerful gift God gave to us. And God allows us the opportunity to meditate and contemplate on the resurrection, on the cross, on church family members, on somebody who might be hurting right now that we could reach out to, on somebody at work that we could be praying for. And all it takes is a few minutes of quiet a day to keep you always contemplating. Number three, this is important. Always cherishing. Always cherishing. This is a very important one. Now go back to Philippians, or go up to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. I believe one of the reasons why Christians don't share their story the older they get in Christ is because they've forgotten how good it was when they first got saved. They stop cherishing what God did for them. You see, the word cherish is a powerful word. I mean, when a newborn baby's born into our family, we get a newborn baby boy, it's amazing how much we cherish that baby. And as they start to grow, it seems like the cherishing gets weaker. When we get a brand new car, oh my goodness. When it's new, I mean, it's fresh, it's clean, it's got that nice smell. We don't want even our kids to eat french fries in the car. Can I get an amen right there? But 2 years later, next thing you know, what happens? I mean, there's food all over your car, trash. Not my car, but maybe your car, right? How about this? The first baby's born. And as soon as they sneeze, we're in the emergency room. The first baby's born, we take 500 pictures a day. By the time the fourth kid comes around, she's got 102 fever and she's out in the snow playing naked and we don't care. And we take one picture of the baby's lucky, one picture a year. Can I get an amen right there? Don't look at me funny. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It's amazing how things change sometimes. Life changes. Things happen. Our kids start to grow up. And we begin to get displaced from things that are really valuable to us. And the devil's a master at that. He just tries to get us, not always, not necessarily defiant to God, but just kind of forget God's goodness in your life. Because then if you forget God's goodness, you'll start to wonder why God hasn't been good to you. Always cherishing. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now watch this. Verse 2, "Beware of dogs." Okay, verse 3, "For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit." Now look at verse 4. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." That's Paul's testimony. Remember, as I preached a few weeks ago, that's when he was Saul. He's telling you, remember Philip, church of Philippi, you remember my testimony? But watch what he cherishes. Now look at this. But verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Praise the Lord. Paul is saying this, "I know what I was, and I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm saved." And Paul always cherished that day on the road to Damascus. He'll never forget it as long as he lives. It's a simple question, and it has a simple answer. When's the last time you spent some time cherishing the day you met Jesus? As we preach this morning, that first story, the first testimony of when you met Jesus Christ. You see, it seems as you study the life of Jesus, it was the ones that Jesus saved from the most sin that followed him the most and risked the most. Because they always, I love the sign for cherished Jesus. Do you still cherish your salvation? Do I still cherish my salvation? You see, a Christian that's going to send a good message to the world where they can read it and they understand it is going to always realize they're a Christian. They're going to always be contemplating. They're going to always be cherishing. And finally, number four, they're going to realize it's always Christ. Period. You see, Paul's going to wrap up this thought now with verse number 10. Here we go. I love this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul, your life summed up in one word, in one name, in one title. What would it be? Paul the apostle, Paul the healer, Paul the preacher, Paul what? What would you say? He'd say one word, Christ, Christ, Christ. You can't read one or two verses of Paul's writings without seeing Jesus Christ in there somewhere. You'll see Lord pop up. You'll see Christ. You'll see Jesus. He talks about Jesus. He testifies about Jesus. He preaches Jesus. His whole life, from the day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus to the day he died, was Christ, period. And that's it. Always Christ. So here's a simple question. Was there any confusion whether they were Jew, Gentile, a king, a Roman ruler? Was any of those crowd ever, were they ever confused where Paul stood? Did anybody wonder, I don't think I have this Paul guy figured out? No. Everywhere Paul went, they knew exactly what he was there for. They knew exactly what he stood for because Paul had the ABCs in the right order. And he knew what message he was going to send to the Jews, what message he would send to King Agrippa, what message he would send to the churches, what message he would send to the lost, what message he would send to the saved, what message he would send to the Gentiles. It doesn't matter. And by the way, it's still the same message he sends to us today in 2015. Paul's saying, hey, we're not perfect. We're only forgiven. Thank God for that. We're saved. But we are living epistles read by the lost world every day of our life. And I believe with all my heart today in 2015, one of the reasons why we're seeing less and less revival in America is because the world's confused. Now watch this now. It's okay to be different. The church needs to be different again. And Christians need to be different again. You know what I saw these last two, 3 days? We're talking about, babe, 90% of the crowd was public school kids. And I already told you, a 17-year-old girl met my wife, never set foot in church in her life. Can you imagine? She comes to church, she hears two guys preach, she hears songs she's never heard before, and the first night she comes, she gets saved. Wow. I'm glad that church sent a strong message, a clear message. You know what's sad? I know this is a little blunt here, but it's true. I never, and even my 7-year-old daughter, never has to wonder who a Muslim is in public. Muslims have never been ashamed to show that they're different. But so many Christians today, you go to their social media, you see their language, you see the movies they talk about. Oh, it's getting quiet now. You see them talk about the concerts they go to. I mean, it's a different world now. I mean, Christians broadcast it. I'm glad I don't see it all. I don't. I just put stuff on my social media and never look again. I mean, I just don't see it all. But boy, a lot of preachers I know today, they almost monitor the church folk. I don't do that because I want to keep a good spirit. Can I get an amen right there? I don't. I really don't. You can ask my wife. A lot of times I have no idea what's going on. But here's the deal. The world's reading it. And many times the world gets off of our announcements and says, I thought wrong. You know, there's no question what ISIS stands for. And boy, this is just free. Someday ISIS will be, was. Amen. Jesus is the great I am. Look here now. What message are we sending to the world today? Is it a message where they see this and say, yeah, they're Christian? But you know what I've learned, Brother Travis? The world has a respect level for Christians that actually stand for the truth. I was just telling the Sunday school class this morning, I don't know that I've ever offended a teenager ever in my preaching all across this country. I don't know if one teenager got offended by the way I preached last Thursday and Friday. Briella, Randy, see anybody get it mad and walk out? If anything, these lost public school teenagers were getting pictures with me and hugging on me and just, wow, I never heard this before. And by the way, I would have been the same way if I was their age. I never heard that. I was like, where's this been? Teenagers want somebody to say, this is right and this is wrong. God says it, and he's not ashamed to say it. But the world is confused. I thought the church, wait a minute. The church is not supposed to change into the world to reach the world. The church is supposed to stay the same. Let the world come here and let Jesus change them. But we have to send a message that when they read our lives, they say, oh yeah. They were called Christians first at Antioch. You know why they called them Christians? Because that crowd reminded them of somebody they heard about named Jesus. So when the world reads our message, what do they read? Last thought, I'm done. In the end of the world, as the world ends, we're going to see Babylonian doctrine prevail. Babylon, Revelation talks about it. Isn't it interesting that you'll see Babylonian doctrine show up for the first time in Genesis chapter 3? Yea, hath God said? That's what the devil said to Eve. You'll see Babylonian doctrine start in Genesis chapter 3. It goes all through the Bible. Kings of Israel were confused by it. All through the Bible, you'll see it in the New Testament. Pharisees had an issue with it. Even the disciples struggled with it. And to the very end of the world, Babylon means one simple thing in principle. It means confusion. And the devil loves confusion. Because the more confused you stay, the less opportunity you have to see truth. Truth is the only antidote to confusion. Christians, you and I may be the only truth the world ever sees. Now, preach this series with a heavy heart because for 18 years, I saw so-called Christians and I was confused. Brother Tim, is it fair for me to say this today? That the very kind Lady Myong, she's received confused signals from American Christians, hasn't she? Just in those 15 minutes we talked to her today, she's puzzled at how Christians behave, isn't she? That's a fair enough analysis of what she was saying today. Well, I hope, Brother Herb, I hope when I die that the world says, yeah, there was no question where that guy stood. Love me or hate me, that guy was a Christian. That guy was a follower of Christ. And we as a church have got to get those letters right so they don't see S-E-J-U-S. They see J-E-S-U-S.
The song is Good News from Jerusalem.
Jesus was a man who was not like any other. He preached about the judgment and the kingdom soon to come. Oh, the people had never heard words like these. He stirred up the scribes and Pharisees. So they began a plot against God's one and only Son. They led him before the courts in the halls of Pilate. In trial they mocked and condemned this righteous man. Pilate listened to the crowd and he knew they lied. But when he heard the people cry, crucify, he tried, but he couldn't wash the blood from his guilty hands. Jesus died on a lonely hill they call Mount Calvary. They laid him in the tomb and the stone sealed him inside. But 3 days later when the women came, shocked and excited when they reached his grave, they ran back to town and everybody heard them cry. Good news from Jerusalem. A cross on a hill where the dead was paid, an empty tomb where his body lay, a small upper room where they saw he was glorified. Good news from Jerusalem. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Well, good news from Jerusalem. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. 2,000 years have passed since he ascended. Wars rage on in a world so lost in sin. Troubles and trials on every hand, but peace is coming to the promised land. When the king comes back, we'll shout again and again. Good news from Jerusalem. A sign in the sky every eye could see. A crown that will last for eternity. A throne for a king who had long been prophesied. Good news from Jerusalem. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Good news from Jerusalem. A sign in the sky every eye could see. A crown that will last for eternity. A throne for a king who had long been prophesied. Good news from Jerusalem. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Good news from Jerusalem. A cross on a hill where the debt was paid, an empty tomb where his body lay, a small upper room where they saw he was glorified. Good news from Jerusalem. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive.